Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On Father's Day, I tried to find a story of a dad to talk to you about, one from the Bible who can give us some guidance. And today, I figured I'd talk about Jesus' dad, because Jesus talks about our Father who art in heaven. And he talked about his dad in one of the parables. Unfortunately, throughout the years, we call this parable the prodigal son. We talk about the son, but it's really about an extravagant father. If we want to know what God is like, we have to look at this parable of the extravagant father. And I'm going to retell the story how the people in the days of Jesus would have heard it, because some of the cultural nuances are not the same today. This dad had two sons. One of them was a stuffed shirt. He was very dutiful. He was honest. He was diligent. He was hardworking. The other was completely self-indulgent. Now, the one who was self-indulgent one day came to his father and said, "Give me my share of the estate." What he was saying to his father, what his father would have heard was, "I wish you were dead. You haven't died quick enough. I want my share." Now, the share would not have been stocks and bonds or whatever was in the bank. The share was land, which would have been in the family for generations. And he said, "I want my share of the land." Being the younger son, he would have been entitled to one third. The eldest son would have had two thirds. So one third of that land was given to his son. And instead of tending the land, he sold it off. And he took all that money and ran and went to a far country. Now, in those days, the townspeople would have been, first of all, astounded at Dad for allowing this to happen, and then completely incensed with the son. And they would have been waiting for him to come home broken. They wouldn't have come, when he had come home, they would not have been happy with him. They would have publicly shamed him for doing such a terrible thing and publicly humiliating his dad like that. So the son goes off and he spends all his living, and he does something even worse. He hires himself out to Gentiles and feeds pigs. And it says that when he came to himself, of course, he was hungry, and he realized that he would have a better life at home. Even if he could just be a hired hand, he'd have so much better life. So he starts to come home, and he has a speech rehearsed. But before he can give his speech, Dad runs out to him. Now, in the Middle East, men of position do not run. That is considered beneath them. People might run to them, but they do not run. And here's this man who forgets dignity because he sees his son. And he's moved with such compassion to the depths of his being that he runs out and he throws his arm around him. And as the son is giving him his speech, he brushes it away and says, "Give him a coat. Give him a ring." Now, rings in those days, the signet ring was a symbol of authority. So here's a man who's made a mess of his life, and the father puts on his signet ring and puts shoes on his feet. Shoes were a symbol of someone who had standing in the community and not a slave. And then, lest any townspeople might have a different idea, he said, "We're going to have a party, and we're going to find the biggest cow we can find, butcher it, and invite the whole town." That's extravagance to a shiftless young man. And then the elder brother, the stuffed shirt, hears the party. And he asks, "What's going on?" And when they tell him, He refuses to take his place at his father's side. Now, the job of the eldest son was to be at his father's side in these parties. It was a sign of respect. In some patriarchal cultures today, we still see that. I had a Nigerian family that at every party, the eldest son had to get up and speak for the family. Didn't matter if the others were eloquent or not, that eldest son, that was his job. And the eldest son refused to go in because he was angry. And the father again humiliates himself and runs out to his son. No self-respecting father in the Middle East would have done that. They would have said, he doesn't want to come in, just wait. But he ran out and he said, son, please come in. And the son said, that boy of yours. And instead of saying, dad, you know, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about how this young man has treated you. What did he say? I've slaved for you. That sounds like a really loving son that you want to have. I've slaved all these years. Meanwhile, he had had the best of everything. He had his father's land. He also received that inheritance so he could do whatever he wanted with his property. The extravagant love of the father. Jesus gave us a picture of God. God loves the completely self-indulgent and the stuffed shirts and everybody in between. The Father's love is so extravagant that he reaches out at all times, runs to his people, and wants them to be part of his family. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that Jesus pointed to when he said, our Father. And what are the implications for those his children who speak his name, who walk in his name? It's that same kind of love that we need to pour out to others. And that is not easy because love does not demand a response. Jesus did not give us the end of the story. Did the elder boy go in and take his place with his dad? We'll never know. Love does not demand a response. We hope there's a response. There was a person I know that had some children. He was a great dad. And his children grew up and he had one daughter. And he loved this daughter as much as his sons, but there's a special relationship between dads and their daughters. And he had gotten her a car when she went to school, and she thought that was great. But over the years, some things happened, and the daughter was very angry with her dad. Angry enough that she wrote him a note and basically cut him out of her life. And the note was filled with half-truths and with accusations, and any father would have thought, why did this happen to me? I don't deserve it. And he would have been within his rights to write her back and say, I'm going to straighten out the record. But he didn't. What he did was he wrote a note to her and said, I love you and I'll be here. Some years later, they were reconciled. Love does not demand a response. Love does not demand that we take our own position and defend ourselves. And sometimes the people around us can be so cruelly unfair to us. But like the father in the story, this father realized that all he could do was say to that daughter, I love you and I will be here for you. That is what our Father in heaven does for each one of us. Can we not do the same for those who have pushed us away? To say, I love you, and I'll be waiting for you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us, that in your extravagance you pull us all in, whether we're stuffed shirts or completely indulgent. We thank you for the opportunity to love that way. And we ask for those of us who are struggling with relationships that are giving us difficult times, that are pushing us to our limits. I ask that you would help us, that you would pour your love into us so that we can stand ready to forgive and embrace. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.